This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And tonight is going to be partly cloudy with a low of 61 degrees. It's currently 10 a.m. In other news with Jeff Brady up next, all here on your listener-supported radio station, WBAI 99.5 FM.
Good morning and welcome to Another News. This is Jeff Brady. We have another interesting show. We have a guest later this hour to talk about fluoridating the drinking water supplies and the health effects of that. Is it needed? His group doesn't think so. We take a look now into the stories in other news. Glenn Beck, as many know, is the entertainer on Fox News Television. He is allegedly breaking one of the biggest scandals involving a $10 trillion market in cap-and-trade measures. And this is the effort to globally measure the six greenhouse gases. It involves Al Gore, Goldman Sachs, Generation Investment Management, which is a carbon offset market investment group. We've talked a little bit about this. They're in London, by the way. And the Chicago Climate Exchange. It's just really weird how Glenn Beck becomes this political prophet, even though he works for one of the richest men in the world. You know, his job essentially is to deliver ratings and sell advertising for the network. That's his job. But he's coming out with this information as if he's breaking the news. Now, it took a lot of different researchers around me to find out and piece this together that Goldman Sachs was involved with this. I only found out about the Chicago Climate Exchange through the late Jerry Smith. But here is Glenn Beck coming out with all this information. Somebody said to me that we're living in a time where down is up and up is down. I can't trust this guy. There's something about it. I don't trust him. Yes, a lot of this information is like really on point. He delivered the facts and he pieced together the large scam. It's a global issue. It's a New World Order issue and one to pay attention to. Last week we talked about the airport scanners, the ionizing scanners, the microwave scanners, and one of the reasons why they were ushered in because of the underwear bomber. Well, the very next day, Tuesday, In Other News ran Monday, and then Tuesday, an ABC News story comes out. New video produced by Al-Qaeda in Yemen show the accused underwear bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, and others in his training class firing weapons at a desert camp whose targets include the Jewish Star, the British Union Jack, and the letters UN. Now, many critics of that underwear bomber has called it a false flag, and this is was a CIA operation. But here we are, ABC World News with Diane Sawyer propping up the war on terror the very next day. The very next day. We don't have time to really talk about the oil rig, British Petroleum oil rig spill. The criticism, too little too late, from the Obama administration. Also, the issues of British Petroleum ignoring safety procedures, not spending the money. Many asked the question, was this intentionally done to allow oil prices to go up, to allow the price of seafood to go up, stressing the economic systems in that region. We look at major disasters like that that could have been avoided because of the elements of disaster capitalism that brilliant authors such as Naomi Klein write about. We go to another piece of audio, the Senate Governmental Affairs Subcommittee of Investigations. Senator Carl Levin of Michigan scolding David Viniar, CFO of Goldman Sachs and ex-vice president.
I want you to understand what's in the customers' minds. Right. You don't think it's junk. You don't think it's crap.
Well, it depends on how you mean that. We might sell.
How I mean it, these are your employees who believe it.
Can I explain? If we sell something to a client, a customer, let's just say we've owned it and we sell it to them at 20 cents on the dollar. They buy it at 20 cents. It doesn't mean we think it's a terrific piece of paper, but they think it's worth more than 20 cents. Clearly, we think it's
distressed. If your employees think that it's crap, that it's a shitty deal, do you think that Goldman Sachs ought to be selling that to customers? And when you are on the short side betting against it, I think it's a very clear conflict of interest. And I think we got to deal with it. Now, you don't, apparently.
I do not necessarily think that's the
case. And when you heard that your employees in these emails, when looking at these deals, said, God, what a shitty deal. God, what a piece of crap. When you hear your own employees or read about those in the emails, do you feel anything?
I think that's very unfortunate to have on email.
Are you embarrassed?
And very unfortunate. I don't.
On email,
please don't take that.
How about feeling that way?
I think it's very unfortunate for anyone to have said that in any form.
How about to believe that and sell it?
I think that's unfortunate as well.
No, that's what you should have started with.
You're correct. It is.
These people are not going to go away quietly, and they want their money. They're not going to stop until they get it. Another story in other news, what's being called sneaky tactics practiced in Washington, D.C. This recent action by Congressman Henry Waxman of California, it's being called insidious. It says while no one was looking, he injected amendment language into the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2009 that essentially would expand the powers of the FTC, not the FDA, to, quote, terrorize nutritional supplement companies by greatly expanding the power of the Federal Trade Commission to make its own laws that target dietary supplement companies. It's not getting much attention right now, but such regulation would require nutritional supplement companies to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, quote, proving the efficacy of a vitamin before they can sell it. And lastly, here's a story. EPA staffers were forced to ignore science and investigation finds. The EPA staffers have been forced to ignore relevant science, have lacked key monitoring data on human health and environmental impacts, and have worked without crucial information needed to protect the public, according to the preliminary findings of a scientific advisory board. The Committee on Science Integration for Decision-Making is still working on this investigation, but has quietly posted draft summaries on the agency's website of 73 interviews with 450 EPA employees. An unusual bottom-up examination that could bring sweeping changes to the 40-year-old agency. Some staffers trace the problems in the agency to the Bush administration, while others say the obstacles are longstanding and continue to this day. Listeners, this is a really good article to look up online, and the title is EPA Staffers Were Forced to Ignore Science Investigation Finds. This crucially connects to the topic we're going to discuss and our guest, our next guest this morning. For nearly 60 years, cities across the country and worldwide have been adding fluoride to the water supplies on the premise that it's a public health benefit, preventing and reducing tooth decay. Numerous studies have shown it doesn't. In fact, groups such as the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation and the Fluoride Action Network say the added fluoride in the water is a poison. It's the waste product from the phosphate fertilizer and aluminum industry. Many say these industries have found it more cost-effective to use human beings as filtering devices for their hazardous waste than to properly dispose the toxic compounds. Studies have found that the contaminants involved in the fluoride treatment in drinking water contain mercury, lead, copper, and arsenic. The health effects studies are also numerous. Fluorosis of the teeth, the beginning stages of bone cancer, and disrupting the endocrine system. We talk with attorney Paul Bieber. He's the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. It's a group that helped the drinking water supplies of Long Island, Suffolk County, and areas of New York State become fluoride-free. We talk about the movement, the health effects, and the industries involved, and what it would take to end the fluoridation of New York City's water supply. Attorney Paul Bieber, welcome to the show.
It's nice to be here.
You are the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. And how long have you been working in this movement to stop the fluoridation of water in New York?
35 years.
Can you just describe the movement to listeners a little bit?
Sure. It's a grassroots movement. In New York, it's been very effective, and it's effective around the country. New York, Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk have no fluoridation. New York City does. We have been able to get it out of Levittown. We've been able to get it out of Riverhead. It's nowhere on Long Island except Queens and, of course, New York City. We help groups all over the country, including, of course, groups in New York, because in New York we have an actual law that says that we have the right to fight fluoridation, fight anything having to do with medical treatment in New York. In any event, we are a group essentially national in scope, because whatever group has a problem and wants to fight fluoridation, they contact us through the Internet.
Oh, amazing. And you're saying all over the world they contact you?
That's correct.
And then how do you reach out to them? Do you actually go to their country and visit and talk with the activists there?
No, we don't have that kind of a budget. If I told you our budget, you would laugh. I think our budget this year was $3,000. Okay?
That's a lot less than what it costs to fluoridate New York City every year.
How about $24 million, New York City?
You're saying $24 million is what it costs to
fluoridate New York City in a year. Imagine how many children could be treated by dentists, poor children, be treated by dentists if they had the $24 million.
It is really stunning. So if we back up a minute and talk about the tests that show that fluoridation of the water as a public health benefit of preventing and reducing tooth decay, how many studies show that this doesn't really occur?
There are so many numerous studies that it's impossible to determine. It's just phenomenal that even the state of New York, the health department of the state of New York, through Dr. Kumar, has indicated that the amount of caries has not changed between fluoridated and unfluoridated areas. So we're spending $24 million in the city of New York for nothing, for absolutely nothing, except brittle bones and poison.
These studies also indicate that it's harmful to bones and teeth, and more than that, also our endocrine system.
Sure, thyroid. And remember that there is there's a little nasty one out there called osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer. And we have found bone cancer in young male children in fluoridated areas. These statistics are significant.
Have there been any class action lawsuits or any suits brought against the people, I guess the NSF or the fertilizer industry?
No. Because the fertilizer industry is merely selling this stuff to the states. And it's the states and the cities that really should be brought in on a lawsuit. Now, California, by the way, has Proposition 65, which is California Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment. It's the lead agency for the implementation of the Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act of 1986, which is the Proposition 65. And what they're doing is they're identifying carcinogens in the water or any place. The first five that they're working on, one of the first five that they consider to be in the high priority category is fluoride and its salts.
In addition to fluoride or the fluoridation of water, this chemical also has other pollutants in it.
Yes, lead, cadmium, arsenic. You know, all sorts of good stuff.
Copper, I even read there's copper.
Mercury.
Really? They're also putting those chemicals into the water when they fluoridate.
That's correct. And remember that fluoride is an enzyme poison. If a scientist wants to stop lice in a biology lab, the first thing he reaches for is sodium fluoride, because he adds that and it stops lice immediately. It's an enzyme poison. So when it goes on your teeth, through the toothpaste, it poisons all of those bad bacteria. But at the same time, it's poisoning you.
It's really powerful that there was all these ads, I guess, in the 50s showing that fluoride is helpful to prevent tooth decay, et cetera, and people really bought this.
Sure.
What do you think is really going on aside from finding a disposal for this, the phosphate fertilizer industry?
Money. It costs the states approximately $180 million a year or more to fluoridate their various water supplies. Since fluoride is a hazardous waste product, it would have to be disposed of as a hazardous waste product. And it would probably cost the phosphate and aluminum industries $180 million just to bury this stuff. So there's a $360 million swing. And so if you were the phosphate industry or you were the aluminum industry, you'd be thrilled to know that we, the people, have become the human filters of their fluoride pollution.
And so it's money and they're profiting. You said the aluminum companies also?
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit further on the aluminum companies and how this byproduct works in conjunction with fluoridation?
What happened in the 40s and 50s was that there was a problem because the fluoride gas that was flowing out of the smokestacks of aluminum and phosphate industries was killing the cows of the farmers nearby. So the EPA finally, it wasn't the EPA at the time, but they came back and they said, okay, you have to put on something to hold that fluoride gas so that it doesn't go out to the farms and kill the plants and kill the animals. So they put these devices onto the smokestacks and accumulated this fluoride. But they had to find some way of disposing of it. So this guy, Oscar Ewing, who was the at that time was an officer or an attorney for Alcoa Aluminum, became the head of the Human Services Agency and immediately decided that fluoride ought to be put in the water and started the trials to try to get this working so that fluoride could be put into the water and get, and the aluminum and phosphate companies could get rid of it. It was also, of course, a huge amount of fluoride from the atom bomb because they had to use a lot of fluoride rock in order to get to the molecules for the atom bomb. And a lot of their people got very ill, and they didn't know why until they figured out it was the fluoride, but then they stopped all their examinations because they didn't want anybody to find out that it was bad for you.
They put these filters on the smokestacks that accumulate the fluoride, and then there are other contaminants along with that.
Sure.
How then is it brought into the water supply?
Yeah, most of the time it's in a powder, but it can be in a liquid also. It's brought to the water station, and then it's injected into the water supply. Now, remember that fluoride, unlike chlorine, chlorine treats the water. Fluoride doesn't treat the water. It treats the people. That's the difference.
What kind of opposition has your group encountered when you go into a particular area with the activism to stop and oppose the fluoridation of water? What have you come up against?
Oh, well, you know, we're the zanies. We're the crazies. We're the John Birchers. You name it. They can come up with any name they can. But unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, all of our evidence is starting to come to the fore. The osteosarcoma in young males, the fact that they've now indicated, the American Dental Association has now indicated that there should be no fluoridated water used to make infant formula for the first year or two of a child's birth because of the fact that the child would be ingesting huge amounts of fluoride, okay, for its body weight. Remember that body weight is very important in this. A 5,000 milligram teaspoon of fluoride will kill the average 150-pound man. But it's all weight-related. So if you were to divide that by 10, it would mean that a 500 milligram, one-tenth of a teaspoon, would kill a 15-pound child. And again, if you divided that by 10, it would kill a 1.5-pound fetus. So fluoride is a very, very dangerous, dangerous product.
Our guest is attorney Paul Bieber. He's the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. As we've heard, there are many success stories happening one at a time, and New York City is probably a tough nut to crack, I'm sure.
We've sent New York the information to indicate that fluoride doesn't do any good. And all they have to do then is cease putting the fluoride in, and the government would save $24 million a year. And considering the budget problems that they're having, it really makes a lot of sense. And unfortunately, nobody has gotten back to us from the city of New York, despite the fact that we've notified them 3 or 4 times now.
In this particular case, what's your next course of action?
Well, we never like to hit people over the head. So we work with groups, any group that wants to work with us, we show them what can happen. They have so many areas to look at when you look at fluoridation. We have the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, where people get a lot of their information. There's the Fluoride Action Network, also on the net, where they can get their information. We give them all of this information, and then we help them any way we can. We'll bring in some scientists if they want to fight. We'll do that. We'll bring in chemists. We'll bring in anybody. The key here that I want you to know about is this National Research Council. The National Research Council in 2006 made a report on fluoride. Now, they're an arm of the EPA. And a panel of experts spent 3.5 years reviewing and debating the fluoride toxicology literature, and they concluded that the maximum contaminant level goal of fluoride in water supplies is too high. They had 4 milligrams per liter as the maximum contaminant level, as opposed to 1 milligram for what this should be imbibing. It's not going to be protective of health, and it has to be lowered. But it's up to the EPA to decide what that level should be. At least 3 of the panel members believe, based on the evidence, that fluoride should be as close to zero as possible, which would effectively kill the fluoridation program in the United States, which might be why the EPA is years overdue in reviewing fluoride standards. That's something you'll have to ask the EPA about.
Fluoride in the water at, quote, all optimal levels is like a 0.7 or a 1.2 milligrams.
Right.
Yet the National Research Council says
it should be closer to zero.
It should be closer, but they found that
the maximum contaminant level of 4 milligrams is much too high.
Okay, got it. I saw something. Now, maybe you can tell us a little more information about this. I was looking for distilled water to drink, but I did find distilled water, and it was specifically for infants. And so they had a little picture of a baby on with no teeth on this gallon jug of water. And then on this label it said, with added fluoride.
That's right. They can't do that. It's illegal.
They're doing it. It's all over the place.
I understand that. I'm just telling you it's illegal. The FDA says that fluoride is not a nutrient. So if you want to add a non-nutrient to a food source, it has to be safe at 100 times the level that you're adding into the food source. So if you want to add 1 milligram of fluoride into a food source, it has to be safe at 100 milligrams. And at 100 milligrams, it's a virulent poison. They can't put it in milk or food or anything else. And the only way they get away with adding fluoride at all is they go to the water, because the EPA right now says, oh, yeah, you can add up the maximum contaminant level is 4.
It is really amazing to see this label with the photo of the picture of the baby smiling, and the baby has no teeth.
Yeah, we've already written to them about this.
Oh, yeah. And have you gotten a response?
No.
Okay, so what do you think that's about, putting fluoride in the water like that for a baby with no teeth? What is going on there?
Well, okay, breast milk has virtually no fluoride in it. If you add fluoridated water to an infant's formula, that infant will now be getting 250 times more fluoride than it would have gotten through breast milk. What's happening is, as a result of their stupidity, all of these researchers and doctors and dentists have put themselves in a position where all of these infants are starting to develop fluoro's teeth. Now, as much as they think it's a hardener, what it really does is it warps the tooth. It makes the tooth not as strong. And so as a result, there's a tremendous effort now to try to make sure that these children don't have the white spots on their teeth from fluorosis. Those white spots are like the canary in the mine shaft, because it signals that you're getting fluorosis not just in your teeth, but in your bones and in the parts of your body that you shouldn't be getting.
I just want to add that I read also that the fluoride molecule is very small, and it's not filtered by a Brita filter, to use reverse osmosis.
That's correct.
To remove it, and even that doesn't remove all of it.
No, it doesn't.
Do you want to talk a bit about the Jennifer Luke study, about the accumulation of fluoride on the pineal gland?
I'm familiar with the study. I don't have it in handy, but I do know that not just the pineal gland, it's also the thyroid that is having a real trouble with fluoridation and fluoride. It's just amazing to watch all of these things happening. And the health departments all just sit there with their thumbs up their behinds, not doing anything about what this really is. Because there's thousands and thousands of reputations at stake. You realize that. I mean, all of these people have been backing this fluoride poison for how long?
It's over 60 years, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And we've been telling them for 60 years. My father was a doctor. When I got a hold of the Newberg-Kingston study, which was one of the first studies about fluoridation, I asked him to look at this thing, and I said to him, look, you know, there's something here that I don't understand. And he said, what's that? I said, well, in the fluoridated area, they talk about more cortical bone defects. What are they? And he said, oh, that's a precursor to osteosarcoma. I said, you're kidding me. He says, no. I said, so then they knew this in 1955? He said, oh, yeah. He says, because if I know it, obviously they knew it. In 1990, we had a study which showed young male rats getting osteosarcoma. In 1994, we had a study from the New Jersey Department of Health, young male children, significant study showing male children getting osteosarcoma. Harvard study, 2006 or 7, in which they said, yeah, there's significant osteosarcoma in male children. Osteosarcoma is bone cancer. It is deadly.
We're talking with Attorney Paul Bieber. He's the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, and he's been practicing for 40 years. Attorney Paul Bieber, what would it take from activists in New York City to help your coalition to get fluoride out of New York City's water supply?
Well, we do have a law in the state of New York. It was sponsored by Senator Johnson back in the mid-90s. Which says that you can vote on fluoridation, and you can vote it out. That's number one. Number two, the groups should get together and try to set up a meeting with the New York City Health Department, with the mayor's council, because it's a waste of $24 million. And when the city needs all this money, it's really effective if we can cancel this process and use that money for the children. Now, understand something. The European Union has already banned the export of fluoridated water. The European Court said that fluoridated water must be treated as a medicine and cannot be used to prepare foods. They're not allowing anything that has fluoridated water in it to come out and go throughout the European Union. Are they that much smarter than we are? The answer is no. We're just being put in a position where money talks better than health talks. And so we need people to be writing to the mayor, writing to the health department, setting up meetings, joining with NISCOF or the Fluoride Action Network to try to get these people to finally see the light. And the light is, hey, you can save money and not hurt people's teeth by ending fluoridation.
Can I safely say that the people who are drinking the city water are potentially being poisoned at a slow rate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If I told you in 1955 that one cigarette a day for 50 years was going to cause lung cancer, you would have laughed me right out of the cigar store. But we're telling you now that the addition of 1 milligram per day of fluoride, which is not really 1 milligram, because when you think about total fluoride intake, people are mostly getting 5 to 6 to 7 milligrams per day of fluoride from the foods that they eat, from the water that they're drinking, from all of those things, and from their medications. But if I were to tell you that 1 milligram per day of fluoride, you'd look at me and go, what are you, crazy?
So just like radiation, this poison is cumulative?
Right.
Got it. Our guest is attorney Paul Bieber. He's the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. He practices elder law, and he's been practicing for 40 years. We're going to take your calls at the bottom of the hour at 212-209-2900.
Building Bridges, your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m. We build bridges.
Hi, this is Harry Allen from Nonfiction, which airs Fridays at 2 p.m. here on WBAI. We've got a fun drive coming up, and we don't like long drives any more than you probably do. So we've come up with an idea for keeping it short. Here's what we want you to do. Go to our website at WBAI.org, and on the right-hand side is a section marked Support WBAI. Make a donation today. You can do so in any amount that you like. And the more we can raise before the fund drive, the shorter our fund drive can be. Support WBAI at WBAI.org today.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
Jimi Hendrix and Stephen Stills, the Basement Tapes. You're listening to Another News, and we're going to take your phone calls with attorney Paul Bieber. Again, he's the president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. He's an attorney. He's got 40 years in practice, 20 years in elder law. So we'll also just check out that label. It's posted on WBAI.org. check out that label of the baby on the label, and it says with fluoride added. I'm just, you know, amazed at that. I saw it in August 2008, I think, and it just really stuck with me. And as you've heard, it's illegal. So let's take calls. Let's see, well, first of all, let's get Paul on the air. Paul, are you there?
Sure, I'm here.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for being with us today. And are you ready to take some calls?
Sure. I'm in district court right now, but I have a little corner right now that's nice and quiet. So
we would never know. We would never know. Okay, let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air with Paul Bieber.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Ed in Poughkeepsie.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
I just recently got very involved very rapidly when I found out about it, about what's called chloramine, which is the replacement for chlorine in my water. It's been here for 4 years, and I started to develop symptoms, what I would call phantom symptoms, because I'm very, very much a wellness person, and at my age I'm in incredible shape, and I started getting these things, and I finally realized my occasional cup of coffee or soup from the local diner contains this chloramine, and I got a list off of the chloramine.org website, Citizens Concerned About Chloramine, and the list of side effects is as long as your arm, and it's a deadly poison. And I just want to let you know that this is, and there's only a few municipalities that are evidently using this as an experiment to see, I guess, who dies. I mean, I hate to look at it that cynically, but that's what it seems to be.
All right.
Isn't it wonderful that the municipalities have the right to experiment with our lives?
This has been going on many, many years, you know, for at least 50 years of my life. And, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in. I went and got 30 of these printed up and went around the neighborhood and passed them out. And I don't know what effect it'll have. But
okay, well, the key here is to fight and to make a lot of noise and make sure that people understand what the gravity of the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm doing. The guys at the local health food store didn't even realize all the ramifications here. So, anyway, I'm going to hang up and then you go on with your show. And thank you for your good work, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for that call. Chloramine. I didn't know about that. Paul, what do you say about chloramine? Have you...
I have to tell you, I am totally unfamiliar with it.
Okay,
but of course, I'm going to start to look it around and see what's going on.
I will as well. I'm going to look this up. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air with Attorney Paul Bieber.
Is that me?
It is.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Is it Weaver?
Bieber.
W-E-A? Or was it W or B? Or?
It's a B. It's a B as in boy.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was trying to clarify. I love this conversation. I just spent 5 hours yesterday in the town of Wilton, Connecticut. I'm in Canaan, talking about a whole bunch of green stuff, and this would have been fabulous to put it out there because, of course, we had the main water company trying to give away plastic bottles that decompose, of course, and nobody knew anything about whether there's BPA or whatever. But I've been so involved in the strontium-90 nuclear emission showing up in baby teeth. Now there's a shot of closing it because basically they've decided they're killing the fish. God forbid the thyroid epidemic isn't enough to shut it down. So what's going on with our water is just appalling, and you guys are so lucky to have this wonderful man helping to expose this and going after it, because, by God, when we had a big fight in Florida, 50 kids around the nuclear power plant in Port St. Lucie, Florida, were having cancer, and the judge throws it out, deciding that the expert witnesses, one had a medical physicist who had appointments with Einstein. The judge decided that witness wasn't good enough for him, and the dastardly ways that the government tries to, you know, throw out very legitimate concerns is just, you know, appalling. So kudos to you, and thank you so much for sharing this. We wish we had you on our side with our issue.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Paul, you ready for another call?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air at WBAI with Paul Bieber.
Hello. Yes, I'm from New Jersey, and Mr. Beaver's name is B as in boy, E-A-V-E-R?
No, it's
no, it's B as in boy, E-E, B as in boy, E-R. Bieber.
E-E-V-E-R.
No V's.
Okay, do you have a question?
Okay, B-E-E-B-E-R.
Right.
Okay. Is it true that you could let the water that you've gotten from the tap stand out overnight and the fluoride might go away? And also,
no.
What is your phone number? And a family member has soft bones at age, you know, in his 60s. And is that an effect of this fluoridation?
It's very possible. First of all, letting water stand overnight is not going to do a bit of good. When you get fluoridated water and you're making soup,
when you boil the fluoridated water, you get more fluoride, not less. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right? And if you want to contact my office, it's 516-433-8882.
82, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You really need an osmosis filter if you want to try to get rid of a reverse osmosis filter is what actually captures the small molecules of fluoride.
Right, exactly. And even then, not all of it is gone. And again, the Brita filter does not filter out fluoride.
No.
Okay, we'll take another call. Hi, you're on the air with Paul Bieber.
Hello, is that me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome Paul to the University of WBAI. Thank you for being part of the show. In my family, there are two dental hygienists, including my sister, my wife, and another one that is going to become a doctor pretty soon. When I bring this topic to the family, they all look at me like I'm nuts, like I'm saying things that make no sense. And it has even brought problems to our relationships. No matter how I try to address this issue, because there are children in our family as well, it's been seen like it is something making no sense. What can you suggest when there is so much skepticism in a family group? What can you suggest to start opening eyes within our...
Okay, well, the first thing I would suggest is, just like myself, when my daughter had a baby last year, I looked at her and I said, no fluoride. And she went to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician said, yes, fluoride. Make sure that the child gets fluoridated vitamins. I said no, and I backed it up with all of the information from our website, from New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, or the Fluoride Action Network. These are all actual studies. They're not made up by our group. They come from the government or from research. And if you bring those studies to them and these people have a half a brain, they should be able to figure out that this is a poison and it ought to be stopped.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Very interesting. So he's coming up against opposition, skepticism, which is not unusual with a topic like this. Is that something you came up against, or you find that other activists come up against, Paul?
Oh, of course. We continually come across that. But the point is that what you have to do, and what I started to do when I became president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, was I said, use the studies that the government has and take those studies and show the people what those studies mean. And by doing that, you're using their evidence essentially against them. And that works. It really works very well.
Okay.
But you have to have access to those studies. And the way you get access is to go to the website that I had recommended.
Okay. And you can... you know, go to a search engine and type in New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, or type in Fluoride Action Network. We'll take another call here. Hi, you're on the air with Paul Bieber.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to ask two questions. Number one is, should we be drinking bottled water with all the concerns about the plastics and the environment and the plastics that do us harm also? And my other question is, I was alarmed to know that in Jersey City, for instance, which is where I live, the water company is not regulated by any outside agency, but by the mayor and city council. Is that common?
Is it common? I'm not sure it is common. Normally, it's the health department that has control of the water companies. So that sounds very unusual to me. But if it is, then you have a great spot because you can go to the mayor and say, guess what? We don't want to elect you anymore because you're taking these types of stands. So that's a I think it's a great thing to have the mayor involved in that. The other thing about plastic bottles, obviously there is a problem with plastic bottles, but I would say that it's a lot better to do it a different way, and that is get rid of the fluoride.
Right. As you pointed out earlier in the interview, Long Island and Suffolk County, and how much of New York State is now fluoride-free?
Well, considering that Long Island has approximately 6 million people and New York State is 14 million, we could say that at least 50% of the state is non-fluoridated, including Albany.
So we're really looking at New York City, which, listeners, it costs $24 million to fluoridate the water in the city. And there is a law that allows you to vote to stop the fluoridation of the water. We'll take another call here. Hi, you're on the air with Paul Bieber.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Is it possible both that a lower level of fluoride is effective in preventing tooth decay, but that the addition to the water is what's creating the problem? And what prompts my question is that in the comparison with communities that have eliminated fluoridation of the water, I would guess that most people still use a fluoridated toothpaste. And therefore, could it be argued that it is the fluoridated toothpastes which are responsible for any alleged decline in dental caries that is not then augmented by the fluoridation of the water, but that the toothpaste alone is effective?
Good point there.
Sure.
What do you think, Paul?
Oh, it's very possible, because remember, when you take fluoridated toothpaste, it's at between 1,250 and 1,500 parts per million. It is an environmental poison, and as a result, it's an enzyme poison. So when you put it on your teeth, you're killing all of the bacteria that's on your teeth. Now, I think I said this before, but I think it's something that you need to realize. When you're talking about getting a sunburn, you don't ingest the suntan lotion to prevent the sunburn. You put it on your skin. Well, it's the same thing with fluoride. If you want to use fluoridated toothpaste at the levels that we're talking about, that's okay. You want to do it, it's your privilege as a person. But remember that it's an enzyme poison, and it should just, if it's going to go on your teeth, it's going to kill everything in your teeth. But remember that enzyme poison also goes into the gums, and as a result of it going into the gums, that's where a serious problem can occur with your heart. So, yes, I'm not disagreeing with you that the fluoride poison put onto teeth probably has done a tremendous job, because virtually all of Western Europe does not have fluoridation, and yet they have the same reduction in caries as we do in the United States. So it's obvious, to me anyway, that it probably is the fluoridated poison in the toothpaste.
Thank you for that call. And it's interesting, because when people understand that fluoride being put in the water supplies is, the chemical is a byproduct of the aluminum and phosphate fertilizer industry. They had to put scrubbers on their smokestacks, and to dispose of this material was very expensive, and they're dumping it into the water supply, so human beings become the filters.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, we'll take another call. Hi, you're on the air with Paul Bieber.
Good morning. This is so appalling, this message of fluoridation. It's really bad. Thank you for coming on and letting the family know about it. My issue here is that I have no family history of thyroidism.
I did have some dental work some time back, over, I guess, 15, 20 years. And from that mercury that they put into your teeth, I somehow, this is my idea, somehow developed thyroidism, an overactive thyroid. And I was wondering, is there a direct relation to plus the fluoride toothpastes and what's in our water, as you say, have a direct impact on my thyroid at this point? And
well,
if there's, let me just ask this last question. In fact, that this is going on, what tests can my doctor take and give me that we will have the evidence that we need to bring this to the authorities?
Well, first of all, there is a link between fluoridation and thyroidism. And so what I would recommend is you go to the NISCOF or the Action Network, the Fluoride Action Network, and just put in the word thyroid, and you'll get a whole list of studies, research studies, indicating what the situation is with fluoride and thyroidism. I do not know the actual test, but I do know that your doctor can determine if you are ingesting too much fluoride and it's having an effect on you. So I would suggest to you, number one, go to the websites, and number two, put in thyroid, and number three, go to your doctor and ask him to test you.
But can this actually end? Is there some way besides me not getting fluoridated toothpaste? Can we save ourselves? I mean, ultimately,
yeah,
we're all drinking bottled water, but...
Yeah, have you ever heard of the word uproar? If there is enough of an uproar of people saying to their legislators, hey, cut this out, this is not good for us, get rid of it, that's what's going to happen. An event, and that's what happens in the small towns and the cities that we've been fighting this. That's what happens. You educate the public, but they have to be educated, and it's a difficult, difficult thing. Because when I first started with fluoride, I thought it was apple pie, you know, apple pie and motherhood. And now you realize that this is a very dangerous, insidious poison, which is having its effect all over the country.
But how can we turn that, since it's in our system, it's in our, we brush our teeth with this stuff, we drink the water, how long before that can get out of our system?
It doesn't get out of your system. It leaches into the kidney. It leaches into the bone. It leaches into the soft tissues of your body. No, you're not going to get rid of it. There's not a way of, as far as I know, there's no way of chelating this thing out of you.
Okay. Join Paul Bieber and fight to get rid of fluoridated water in New York City's drinking supply. I think we can do it. Guess what? We would save $24 million, and what an incentive that would be. Paul, do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, when you think about that $24 million, you know, look at the amount of dental work you can do to save children. Instead of giving them a poison, you can actually put them in front of the dentist and have the dentist actually take care of their cavities and their teeth. This is so simple that it's hard to imagine anybody being against it, but that's the story. $24 million can come right out of that budget and go for the right thing, that is taking care of children.
Attorney Paul Bieber, president of the New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation, thank you so much for being on In Other News.
My pleasure.
And you could reach Paul, just type in New York State Coalition Opposed to Fluoridation. Check out Fluoride Action Network. There's no shortage of studies, no shortage of information. I just want to talk to you a little bit about this update here I got sent to me about this oil spill. It's just an update on some of the statistics here. I know they're trying to build a dome to put into this area, this pocket of oil that's just spilling out oil right now. This is an engineer speaking with 25 years of experience. First fact, the original estimate was about 5,000 gallons of oil a day spilling into the ocean. Now they're saying 200,000 gallons a day. That's over 1 million gallons of crude oil a week. First, the BP platform was drilling for what they call deep oil. They go out to where the ocean is. It's about 5,000 feet deep and drill another 30,000 feet into the crust of the earth. This is right on the edge of what human technology can do. Well, this time they hit a pocket of oil at such high pressure that it burst all of their safety valves all the way up to the drilling rig and then caused the rig to explode and sink. Take a moment and grasp the import of that. The pressure behind this oil is so high that it destroyed the maximum effort of human science to contain it. When the rig sank, it flipped over and landed on top of the drill hole, some 5,000 feet under the ocean. So they're trying to build a dome right now to cap this off. But now they've got a hole in the ocean floor 5,000 feet down with a wrecked oil rig sitting on top of it, spewing 200,000 barrels of oil a day into the ocean. Take a minute and consider that. First, they have to get the oil rig off the hole to get it in order to try to cap it. Do you know the level of effort it will take to move and that wrecked oil rig sitting under 5,000 feet of water? The operation alone would take years and hundreds of millions to accomplish. And that's the opinion of this engineer. There's much more, but just gives you an idea of the magnitude of this disaster. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for those calls. This has been Another News.
This is the Cat Radio Cafe Weekly Billboard.
Describing highlights of what you'll be hearing at 2 p.m. today.
Along with me, Janet Coleman, and you,
David Dozer,
the displaced playwright.
You'll hear
Paul Brody and Murray Nossel, stars of the acclaimed unscripted theater piece Two Men Talking, discuss new turns in their narrative. Poet Kimiko Han on her new collection Toxic Flora. And hip-hop artist Baba Brinkman on his New York performances of The Rap Guide to Evolution.
Ah, evolution. It caused a lot of trouble for the church types.
A Darwin's theory?
More than a theory.
A theory that's more than enough.
More than enough to annoy the church types.
For 150 years.
Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, Reggie, what's happening?
Hey, I just found out that the WBAI Spring Fundraiser is going to start on May 12th.
Oh, no, man. We got to listen to those begging bennies again.
But, hey, I got an idea.
Ding.
If the listeners go to WBAI.org,
mm-hmm.
and if they go down to the right-hand side of where they say donate now,
right,
and they donate their money,
mm-hmm.
the drive can actually end sooner.
Sounds like a plan, my man. Mary, sweet mother Jesus, you're a genius.
So, listeners, if you go to WBAI.org,
please,
and pledge now,
immediately,
we can end the drive sooner.
Please.
Then we can go back into regular programming.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
With All I Know, right here on your listener-supported station, WBAI 99.5 FM. Coming up next is Out FM, but you just finished listening to In Other News with Jeff Brady. And I have your quote of the day. And this one is about successful people. Successful people do not wait for opportunities that will make them successful. Rather, they create opportunities for themselves that take them to their goals and make them successful. Coming up at noon is Science, Health, and Healing with Dr. Majid Ali, and it's currently 70 degrees and cloudy. And today, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 80 degrees. And tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 61 degrees. And I'm your girl, Lee Faye, your morning announcer until 12 noon. As I said, coming up next is Out FM, all here on your listener-supported radio station, WBAI 99.5 FM. And you end up having nothing for yourself. Your head is gone so far. Almost forgotten who you are. Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.